We begin the current daf in Sechtes, but become a daf lamed gimel. Begin on the second line down for the top of the yamed, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. That is, the Gemara on Amud Beis on the previous daf had quoted the following brisa. The brisa said that if someone goes into the store of a carpenter without permission, and then the chip of wood that the carpenter is working on comes and shoots it into his face and he dies, so then the carpenter is exempt, he's potter. Now, however, if the person had a right, he had permission to come into the store, and then the thing shoots him in his face and he dies, then we said that the carpenter is going to be liable. Now, there were two different versions of Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina when he qualifies the following words. He says, Chai bedal dvarm upatur megalus. Now, the first version says that it's going on the sefer, meaning when he goes in with permission, then he's going to be chai bedal dvarm, but he's going to be patur from galus. Whereas in the Reisha, when it says that if he went in with permission, he's going to be potter, he's going to be potter even from the Dal Dvarm. The second version actually had it qualifying the statement of the Reisha. In other words, when he goes in without permission, then it says you're going to be potter, you're potter from Gullus, but you're going to be Chayiv on the Dal Dvarm. In contrast to the Sefer, when you went in with Rishus, then already it's a liability even for Gullus. That was the two different versions of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Now that's why Gemara continues on this daf and says that Rav Zvid Mishmid the Rav Masni Law, he has a third version of the statement of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Again, the first two versions were either it was qualifying the halacha of the Reisha or the halacha of the Sefer, meaning regarding when he goes in without permission or when he goes in with permission, which obviously the Machlekes is both either regarding Dal Dvarm, which one is going to be Chayav Apatra, or regarding the halacha of Gullus, where according to, let's say, the second version, then you're going to be Chayav and Gullus if he comes to Bershus. This version has him going on Aha, on a totally different Braisa. The Braisa, quoting the Pasuk in Devarim, and Pasuk Yates, Perek Yates Pasuk Hey, which that's the parasha that we're discussing regarding some of the kills B'Shagig, where the prototype that the Pasuk uses is B'Shayove Yisrael V'Yar, if someone comes to his friend in the forest, Lacht of Eitzim to chop wood, V'Nitchliyo the V'Garzin, L'Chursa Eitz, and then the axe slips out of his hand, V'Nosh L'Barzal Mana Eitz, and then the iron slips out from the wood. And then as the Braisa quotes from the part of the Pasuk, U'matza, and then this that flies out of his hand, the axe is flying out, and it finds Esrei'ehu B'Meis, and it ends up hitting his friend, and he dies. So that's where Hu Yonis Alachas Arma Eila B'Chai. So that's when he could flee to one of these cities of refuge of the Ari Mikla, and then he'll be able to live that way. But he has to go into Gullus. Now, says the Braisa, when it says Umatza, and it finds Esrei'ehu, meaning by mistake it slipped out of his hand and flies and hits this guy, that's Prat L'Mamtzias Atzmoy. But that excludes if, let's say, he finds the axe and not the axe finds him. What does that mean? Mikan Amr B'Liyaz Ben Yaakov, that Misha Yotze Evan Metachas Yadeh. If somebody has that a rock comes out of his hands, V'Hitzi Halo Asroesha V'Kibla, and now this other guy, he sticks his head out, and then that's how it hits him in the head, then the guy who had the stone fall out of his hand is going to be exempt, because that's not Umatza. Matza is that it fell out of his hands, and it found as a target that guy. Here didn't find that guy. That guy found the rock. He stuck his head out to get hit by it. That's what the Pasuk is excluding. Now, regarding that Braisa, says Rav Zvid, that's where, and also in the name of Rabbah, that Amr Yisrael Rav Chanina, that's where he said that Patr Migalus, the guy who killed him by mistake, will be exempt from Galus, but he will be liable for the four types of damages, besides Nezik, the Tzar, Ripui, and Shevis, because he was negligent. Why? Because ultimately he threw it to a place where there were people around. So therefore, there's going to be a liability of the Dal Dvarm. So though the guy stuck his head out and he got it, but why are you throwing it to a place where people are around? Now, explains the Gemara, Man de Masnin La'aha. So now we're going to compare all the three different versions. The one who learns the Halach of Risa B'Chanina on this Braisa, regarding there being a liability of Dal Dvarm, Koshken Akamaisa, for sure, would learn that going on the Braisa we brought in the previous stuff, which again, we had two different versions of that, regarding somebody that goes into the store of a carpenter. Now, the reason why that carpenter, for sure, according to this version, that it's going this price, it would hold in that case, would be Chayav in Dal Dvarm, because since the carpenter saw somebody walk into his store, he should have been careful. So though the guy coming into the store with permission, without permission, but he saw him, he should have been careful. So therefore, for sure, the halacha, Rabbi Yisrael Chanina would agree, would be Chayav in Dal Dvarm. But says the Gemara, man de masin la kamaisa, but according to those versions that learned it only on that price of the carpenter, avalaha pat legami, but would hold in this situation that although yes, he threw it maybe where there are people around, but since the guy wasn't there, he stuck his head out, there you would be putter from the dal dvarim. It's only over there where you saw the guy, you should have been careful, you know he was there in the store and you know he could shoot out and hit him. That's where you'd be chayav in dal dvarim. But in this brisa, those first versions would not hold your brisa, because it would hold that you'd be chayav in dal dvarim, you'd be putter from galus and from the dal dvarim. In other words, in the case where he gets damaged and that he doesn't die. Now, a similar type of a brisa discussing this topic says, Tan Rabbanu, we'll learn the brisa. Workers that are coming to get their paycheck from the employee, from the employer. Now, when they came to his estate to get the money paid, so his ox of the homeowner gored them, or the owner's dog bit them, umeis, and they died. Says the Tanakama, Potter, the balabais, the owner, the employer, is exempt. Others say, they disagree. They say, no, Rishon Poyel and Litvayas Char Mebalabayas. Workers, employees have a right to demand their money, so they have to come to his house to get paid, and therefore they had a right to be there, and therefore if his animal kills them, then it is a liability of the owner. Now, the Gemara wonders, Hei Chidami, what's the case Toma that they're arguing about? And that is, Idish Chich B'masa, if this Balabayas, if the employer is around in town, he's available to be summoned besides at his house. So my tamad acherim. So what's the reason of the others who say that he's liable for the death? Why? What rights do they have to come to his house? I'm in town. You can catch me over there. My animal bit you. What are you doing in my estate? Now idish chich b'bayis. And if he's only found in the house and not in the marketplace, then my tamad tamadikama. What's the reason of tamadikama that says that the homeowner is exempt? Why? They have seemingly acherim are correct. They have a right to get paid. And the only way we can go is come to your house. You're never around anywhere else. So the Gemara explains, Leit Tzricha, the case is talking about, Begavar de Shchiach, V'loi Shchiach. Sometimes he's found in town, but sometimes not. He's not always available there. Now, so therefore, moreover, V'kari Abava, they came knocking on his door. V'amalahu, and he said to them, in, yes. So what's the Machlekes? Marsa, but Acherim held, when he says, in, yes, Ul Ta Mishma, it sounds like meaning, come in to my house. And therefore, when they come in, his animal harms them. Since they were allowed to come in because he said yes, he's going to be chayiv. But Amar Sabar in, but the Tanakhama holds when he says yes. What does it mean when he says yes? The guy rings the bell and says, yes, kumaduchtuch mashma. It means stay in your place. We'll bring out the money to you or whatever it is, but it doesn't mean coming in. And that's why if they come in, they have no rights to come in. And if his animal harms them, he's going to be potter. So the Gemara says, Tanakhama do Amar. We have a brisa that supports the opinion of the Tanakhama that says when he says in, yes, it means to say, stay in your place. You don't have any rights to come into my house. The Talmud in the Braisa. A worker that's coming to get his claim, his pay from the homeowner. The Nakri Sharish of Balabais and the ox of the homeowner gores him, or Yinashka cowboy, or his dog bites him. His potter, Afa Pisha Nechnis Bishos, he's exempt even though he came in with permission. Now, so as Tyson points out, obviously the case that we're talking about here must be like the case we explained that was they were arguing in the previous brisa, when it's what's called shchiach v'lo shchiach, where sometimes he's in town but sometimes not. Because if we'd be told that he's always available in town, then he wouldn't be called someone that's nichnas b'rishus, because what right would he have to come into this guy's estate if he could just get paid in town? Because then in such a case, it would be obvious that when he says yes, it means stay in your place. You don't have any right to come over here. Don't worry, you'll find me in town. So Deva explains the Gemara, Samai Potter, so why is he exempt? Elalav, rather, must be told by the Kari above of Amalei in, where he knocked on the door and he said yes. Vishmamino in kum aduchtuch mashmas. Obviously, you see from this brisa that it must be told by the case of that he's sometimes found, sometimes not. And so if he has rights, so why is the homeowner going to be exempt? Because that's what it means to say. I mean, because he said yes, but yes doesn't mean you could come in, although you have a right to come over here. In other words, that you could entertain that you could come in, or else if he was always found in the town, you would have no rights whatsoever. Still, he's going to be potter because it means to say, no, stay where you are, don't come in. And that's why the homeowner is going to be exempt if his animal harms the employee. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, beginning a new string of Mishnayos. Shnei Shvarin Tamin Shechoblu Zezeh. Regarding two oxen that are both Tamin is the first few times when it's only Chayev Chatzin Nezek. Now they went and they both injured each other. They were fighting, these two oxen. Says the Mishnah, Mishalmed b'meiser. So what you do is you evaluate the damage that each animal caused to the other one. Now, regarding the one that harmed the other one more, so you evaluate that excess, chatzi nezek. That's how much that one had damaged the other one. For example, let's say one damaged one $50 and one damaged one $100. So that 50 gets canceled out. Then there's an excess of 50. Now that excess of 50, he pays chatzi nezek, half of those damages, because we know a shor tam only pays chatzi nezek. Now let's say shnei mu'adin. Let's say two of these oxen that were fighting with each other were both mu'ad, which pay nezek shalom. So mishalma b'maisa nezek shalom. So the one that pays the excess pays the full amount of damages. So let's say the case we just described, where one damaged 150, 100. So there was an excess of 50 that one damaged the other one. So regarding that 50, he has to pay the whole 50. Let's say echad tam be'echad mu'ad. Let's say there were two oxen that were fighting. One was a tam, one was a mu'ad. So the mu'ad b'tam, in other words, if it's a case where the tam was damaged, that he damaged the tam more than the tam damaged him, meaning the mu'ad was the one that excess over the tam, shalom b'maisin, nezik shalom. So then the owner of the mu'ad has to pay that excess, that difference in the full amount of the damage. Whereas tam b'mu'ad, regarding if the tam damaged the mu'ad more, Misham b'maisa chazinezik, the excess he has to pay only half of those damages as a tam. Continues the Mishnah b'chein shnei anoshim. Same halach applies when you have two men shechavlu zeh b'zeh who are fighting one with the other. Misham b'maisa nezik shalom. Each one, he gave him a black eye, he broke his foot. Point is that whoever damaged the other one more, as a way of figuring out the compensation, has to pay nezik shalom. Now let's say adam amud umud ba'adam, a shor hamud with a person who are fighting with each other. Misham b'maisa nezik shalom, since they both pay nezik shalom, whoever pays the difference that did more of the damage has to pay that in the full amount of the damages. Let's say adam b'tam b'tam ba'adam, there was a person that damaged the shor tam and the shor tam damaged the person. So adam b'tam, misham b'maisa nezik shalom, when the person damaged the ox more than the ox damaged the person, he has to pay the difference, the full amount of the damages. Whereas tam ba'adam, a shor tam that harmed the person more than the person harmed the ox, misham b'maisa chatzi nezik, he has to pay that excess, that difference, half of that damage as a shor tam. Whereas on this halacha, Rabbi Akiva, he disagrees. He says, no, af tam shechava ba'adam. Even a shor tam, if it damaged the person, misham b'maisa nezik shalom, has to pay the difference, the full amount of the damages, where although we know that a shor tam that damages another animal, that it pays only chatzi nezik, when it damages a person, has to pay nezik shalom. Now, it's regarding this halacha that the Gemara opens up with the following b'raisa. Turn about when the b'raisa. The pasuk in Shemais says, and this is in Perek Chafal of Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it says, oiven yigach, oivas yigach, that if the ox doesn't gore an animal as the previous parasha was talking about, but rather it gores a son or a daughter, meaning a human. So then the pasuk says, kamishpat hazeh ye'osalai, like this judgment is what you should do to it. Now, the opinion of the Rabbanan, the Tanakhama that we're talking about over here, they are not medayik the word hazeh, which means this one. Rather, they bring it for a different drasha, as the Gemara will later on explain. So therefore, when it says kamishpat, ye'asalai, like the judgment, which judgment? When they're talking about shar shenogach as adam, what judgment are we comparing it to? Kamishpat shar b'shar, comparing it to the previous parasha, where it's told about when an ox gores another ox, which is kach mishpat shar b'adam, that's going to be the judgment of an ox that gores and harms and injures a person, because that's what the parasha is talking about, where oiven yigach evas yigach, which teaches us mashar b'shar, just like when the ox gores an ox, tam mishalom chetzi nezik amud nezik shalom. So the tam pays only chetzi nezik, the amud pays nezik shalom. So avshar ba'adam, same thing as a ox and a person, tam mishalom chetzi nezik amud nezik shalom. That's the opinion of Tanakhama of our Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, he learns it differently. He says, no, the words are kamish bat hazeh, like this judgment. What's this? Ketachtin v'loy ke'elyen, meaning to say, like the judgment of the previous pasuk right before we spoke about oiven yigach evas yigach, which was talking about a shor hamu'ed, and not like the elyon, meaning like the previous pasuk, the pasuk before that, which was talking about the shor tam. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva is being medayik the words hazeh, this judgment. In other words, what was the pasuk we just ended off with? Was a mu'ed? That's exactly the halacha that it always has, even the shor tam, when it injures a person, which is nezek shalom. Now, however, Rabbi Akiva does continue, and he says, but yochel, you would think that a tam that injures a person should be like a mu'ed for all halachas of a mu'ed. In other words, even to be mishalim and aliyah, to pay not only, which there's a difference in tam and mu'ed, besides chazi nezek nezek shalom, is also regarding where you could collect from. Shor tam, you could only collect from the animal of the body itself, the body of the animal, not from his bank account. Whereas by shor mu'ed, you could collect min aliyah, even from his bank account from all the stuff that he has. So you would think, says Rabbi Kiva, if I'm comparing a shur that even a tam that's mazik adam to the halacha of shur muad, that you would not only be able to collect nezik shalom, but even an aliyah, tamalimah, but that's what the pasuk qualifies that and teaches, ye asaloi, that this is what should be done to him, meaning to the ox that gored the ben or the bas, which is megufa mishalom, that you can only collect from the body of the animal itself, ve'en mishalom and aliyah, and you cannot collect from the aliyah, from all the stuff that he has at home. And therefore, if let's say the ox is not worth the amount of damage it did to the person, so the damaged party will lose out and he could only collect from the ox itself. Now the Gemara asks, Rabbanan, zeh lomali. So then what do they use the word hazeh as if it's coming to say this and not something else? It would sound like Rabbi Kiva as going back on mu'it and not on the whole parasha that it says before, which if without saying the word hazeh, you would know kamishpat, like we said before, which is shar shenagach. Hazeh sounds like it's going back, like Rabbi Kiva said, on mu'ud and not on tam as the tanakama, as the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, the Rabbanan learned the word hazeh lefoitre ma'arba advar, to exempt a shur that's nagach adam from the halachas that we find, let's say, by a adam that's mazik adam. When a person injures another person, he has to pay besides damages, he has to pay tsar, ripui, shevis, baishis. So on that, the Rabbanan learned, when it says kemishbat hazeh, meaning like this judgment, he has to pay the owner of the shur tam to the person that was damaged, meaning regarding nezik shalom, but not regarding a different judgment of when how a person injures his friend, which is the dal dvarim, that the shur hamazik that damages a person doesn't have that liability. Now, on that, the Gemara says that Rabbi Kiva lepeitre ma'abar dvarim inole. So where does he know this, that a shur that's mazik adam doesn't have the same thing like when a person is mazik adam to pay dal dvarim? So that the Gemara says, Nafkali, he learns it from a different pasuk in Mayikra, which actually is the source of the halacha of Dal Dvar. It's Mi Ish Kihit Mumba Misav. In the pasuk, it says when a person will give a blemish in his friend, so then he's chayv in the Dal Dvarim. So the drush is Ish Ba Misav, but Lishar Ba Misav. It's only when the friend, when a man does it in his friend, but not when his ox does it to his friend. Then there's no Dal Dvarim. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbanan, Imahi, if that was where you would know that it only applies to a person that damages a person and not a shur that damages a person, Havamina, I would have said that tsar luchudei. It's only regarding the element of pain, that's where it applies only to a person damaging a person and not an ox damaging a person. The reason why I would say pain is different is because there's no real damage in pain. It's just a feeling, but there's nothing that created an actual loss. Avaripui b'sheves, regarding the doctor bills, the healing, and regarding the loss of work, which is a loss of money, emalitinle, I would say that that would be considered like nezik, and therefore there would be a liability even when a shur is mazik a person, just like a person that's mazik a person, and would be chayiv and ripin shabbos. Kamash malan, that's where the extra word hazeh comes to tell you that no, that when it says kemish but hazeh yasalai, that like this judgment will be when the ox gores and harms a person, will be regarding the liabilities of the tashlumen, but it's not going to apply to the halachas of the dal dvarim. That doesn't apply. You don't know it only from ishki nimubam misay, because I would say only regarding tsar. I need also regarding hazet to say that it's only regarding this parasha we're discussing over here, but not where it says somewhere else regarding the dal dvarim. That's only by adam. That's masik on adam. Now the Gemara continues with the next mishnah. Continue on the similar theme. Shur shava mana shenogach shur shava masai. If an ox that's worth 100 gores an ox that's worth 200, now moreover ve'ein hanavela yafa klum, the dead animal carcass of the animal that was damaged is not worth anything. Now the significance of that is because as the Torah says it, the way they split it is that they split the dead animal carcass of the nizik, and they also split the dead animal the live animal, the mazik, from, they split the two, and that's how they get, the reason why they split it is because it's, as we'll see a later mission, it's when the shur that's worth 200, that gores an ox worth 200, and then the chatzi nezik is then split up in that way. Now, but in this case, where the shur hanizik is not worth anything anymore, the dead animal was totally demolished, then noitel es hashur, then the nizik just takes the ox of the mazik, because that's exactly chatzi nezik. His ox was worth 200, and now it's worth the zero, half of that is 100. The shur hamazik was worth, is 100, so he just collects, he just takes the shur hamazik. Now the Gemara says, Mastit Mani. Who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva, he's going like Rabbi Kiva. Because the Tana learned in the Braisa that there's a machlokes about the mechanics of how this is processed regarding the nizik collecting from the shur hamazik. The first Tana says, Yusham Hashur, The Shor HaMazik is evaluated bebezdin in the court. That's Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. In other words, that the Mazik then gives the monetary value of the ox, which is Chatzi Nezik, because we know the Chatzi Nezik only could be collected from the Migufai, from how much is the value of the Shor HaMazik. More than that, you can't collect. Now, the significance of it is, this Bryce is discussed in the same case as our Mishnah. When you have an ox that's worth 100, a gordon ox worth 200, and the Nevela wasn't worth anything at all. So Bishmol says, he doesn't just collect the ox and he could just take it. No, it's evaluated in court how much it's worth. If it's worth 100, okay, great. That's great for the Nizik, because now he can collect his full Chatzi Nezik from the value of the Shor HaNizik, but he doesn't own the Shor HaNizik. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, he says, no, Huchlet HaShor. The ox is conclusively transitioned. That is, the Nizik could take the actual Shor itself. I think more later on he's going to ask, what's the difference between them? What's the difference? Is he getting the money or the ox? But that's their machlokes. Rabbi Shmuel says that no, he doesn't get the Shor HaMazik. The court evaluates and he gets paid according to how much is in the body of the ox. Whereas Rabbi Akiva says, no, he actually gets the ox itself. Now the Gemara asks first, B'mai K'miflugi, regarding what are they disagreeing? So the Gemara explains, Rabbi Shmuel Sava, he holds, Bal Chayvu, the damaged party, is basically a creditor. V'zuzi hu demasikle, he's just collecting money. But he doesn't have any ownership rights in the Shor HaMazik, it's just, that's where the Torah says you could collect from the body of this animal. That's where your collection comes from, but you don't own it. And therefore, it's the court that evaluates it. But Rabbi Akiva Sav, Rabbi Akiva holds, no, shutfininu. They're actually partners in that ox that the Torah was speaking about, the Shor HaMazik. The Torah said, now, they're partners. And that's as the wording of the pasuk is that where it says that, u'machre es ha-shor ha-chai, as the Gemara will shortly explain, they sell it and they split it. The Torah is making the Nizik a partner in the Shor HaMazik. Now, moreover, as we'll see later on the Mishnah on the next daf in the Lamed Aleph, the Pasuk is talking about when you have a Shor that's worth 200, the Gordon Ox worth 200. That's the Shor that's talking about in the Torah. So that's where usually, okay, so for the damages, or half the damages worth half the amount of the Shor HaMazik. But therefore, in our case, where the Mazik is only worth 100, not 200, so that means to say the full value of the Shor HaMazik is Chatzi Nezik. So Rabbi Akiva says, you take the full ox. You're not just a partner now. You're a partner usually because that's how much Chatzi Nezik is, half the value of the Shor HaMazik. So, but in this case, Rabbi Akiva, you take the whole ox because your value of how much partnership you get in it is now the whole, is 100% of the value of the ox. Now the Gemara explains, if a kamiflagi b'hai kra, and they disagree regarding how you interpret this pasuk in Shemais, which is in Perichav Aleph Pasuk Lamed Hey, that says, that if someone's ox will gore the ox of his friend, the mace and the ox dies. So the pasuk says, so they sell the living ox, the Shor HaMazik, and they divide the value, the money of that ox. Now Rabbi Shmuel Sava, he holds, the Torah is telling that who should do this process? It's the courts that should do it, because the Nezik doesn't own it. It's the Mazik's. It's just that's what you could collect from. So it's telling the courts to go ahead and do this. Now, Rabbi Akiva Sava leNizik uMazik Mazul Achmana. He learns that no, the Torah is telling who's umachu, who's the plural that they sell it. Who has the rights? He says it's the Mazik and the Nizik because they're actually partners in it now. They, the partners, now go ahead and sell it and split the money of the partnership that they have. Now, the Gemara, however, asked my Benayu, what's the practical difference between the interpretations? Who cares if he has a partnership, he doesn't. Either way, he's going to collect that amount of money from the Shor HaMazik. So the Gemara says, and Taisa says, it's just picking one out of many examples it could have given, is Igdishri Nizik Ikabinayu. The difference is, if the damaged party goes and is makdish his rights in the Shor HaMazik, where according to Bishmol, he hasn't been makdish anything. You have no rights, you don't own anything in the animal. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, you have been makdish because you actually own partnership shares in the Shor HaMazik. Now, relating to this discussion, the Gemara brings the following question. He says, Machri Mazik l'Rabbi Shmuel Mahu. According to Rabbi Shmuel, who we just described, that the Nizik doesn't have any rights in this animal. He doesn't own, doesn't have shares like Rabbi Akiva said. So it seems like that the Mazik is the one that still owns it. So if he sells it, what's the halacha? So the Gemara explains. Since Rabbi Shmuel said that the damaged party is a creditor, V'zuzihu demasek lein, they're just coming to collect money. Now the Torah says, okay, but we allocate the body of the animal to where you could collect from. But he doesn't own it, so macher. So if the mazik sells it, it's still his, and it's sold, and therefore it is a valid sale. Or maybe do we say, as we continue on Tamid Bey, is that no. Kiven the mishamet leil nizig, since this shor hamazik is indebted to the nizik, to the damaged party. In other words, if let's say the mazik doesn't give him money, so then the nizik could take the ox, because the Torah made it indebted to him, as we say, migufi, that's where he collects from the body of the shor hamazik, so lav kol kamine. So there's no rights for the mazik, for the owner of the shor hamazik, to go ahead and sell the shor hamazik, even according to Rabbi Shmuel. So Malachi responded to him, ein macher. Said, you're right. Like you're saying, it's meshubit, it's not sold. Now that the Gemara says, but in the Braisa, clearly macher macher. The Braisa says, if he sold it, it is sold. How could you say it's not sold? So he responded to me, says, no, you're right. The Braisa is correct. If the mazik sells it, since the nizik has no shares in it, and he sells it, it's sold. But when I'm saying it's not sold, is because chayze v'gevehu. It's because the nizik could then go ahead and collect it from lekeach. So that's why I meant to say it's not sold, because he can't sell it off. Fine, it is a sale in practicality, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be able to and collect it back. That's why I said it's not sold. Now, on that, but then the Gemara asks, but then if, like you're saying, then afterwards you could just go ahead to the purchaser, to the consumer, and go ahead and collect from him. So, lema mocher, so what is the Braisa saying that if he sold it, it's sold? What does that mean, it's sold? For what practical purposes is it sold if it's not really sold, because I could just go ahead and collect from him? So, that's on that, the Gemara explains, no, it is sold. That's what the Braisa was referring to, Laridya. In other words, if the consumer had plowed with the animal before the Nizik came to collect it, he doesn't have to give the value of the plowing that he had gained to the Nizik, because it was sold. Now, you're telling me that the Torah makes the Meshubah to you, and therefore you can go ahead and take it from the guy who sold it? Fine, but for those few weeks or hours or whatever it is that I had used it until you took it from me, that was a valid sale, and it wasn't considered a nizik that I owe the nizik. It's not. Rabbi Shmuel holds it's always owned by the mazik. So for plowing is what it would be considered sold. Now, however, on this, the Gemara asks, Shema Mino, so are you telling me that we could infer from this halacha that lava, if someone borrows money, and the Gersa here is umachar matatlin, and then after he borrowed money, he sells off some of his movable items. Are you telling me bezdin goyvin lemehem, that the courts would go ahead and collect for the lender from those matatlin? But the problem with that is that we know that matatlin is something that's not always around. It's a movable thing. And we know in halacha that the malva, the lender, doesn't rely on collecting from matatlin. And that's rather the reason why karka is called Nechasim Shesh B'Machrayis, is because there's always liability. You always know where it is. You always rely on that to collect from that. So the question basically that the Gemara is asking is that why, as the Gemara just concluded, do we say that he could go ahead and collect from the consumer? In other words, this, what Rabbi Shmuel is calling this creditor, which is the Nizik, could collect from the Shur HaMazik. Why? A Shur is Metatlin. So therefore, why could he go ahead and collect from the lekech, which we know that even though there's a creditor, as we say, a loiva, cannot collect if metatlan later sold off to other people, it's not meshubid. So how are we saying that the shor hamazik is considered meshubid if you consider him like your shmol does as a bachleiv, as a creditor, to be able to collect from that lekech? So I think Gemara says, no, shani hasam, regarding the shor hamazik in the Torah, that's different. The commander asoy apoyteki dami. It's as if the Torah made and designated this shor, the shor hamazik, as what's known as a paiteki. A paiteki means from the word paitekai. Torah says, this is where you're going to collect from. If this guy doesn't pay, you could collect from the shar. So that's why, although yes, it's metalton, and usually a creditor cannot collect from metalton that's sold off even after the loan was done, but here the Torah says, no, this is your paiteki. If he sells it, you'll be able to collect from that. But however, the Gemara still asks him that too. So even if you say it's a paiteki, the Gemara says, but Va'amar Rava said, Asa avde apaytiki umachari. If a person makes his slave an apaytiki and then he sells it off, well then bal chayv goyve menu, the creditor could collect from that slave. Whereas shayrei apaytiki umachari, but if he makes his ox into apaytiki and then he sells it, meaning someone he owes a creditor money, makes him, oh, this, you don't worry, if I default, don't worry, you'll always be able to collect from this ox. And then he actually sells it off, ein bal chayv goyve menu, the creditor cannot collect from it. So the question is, so why over here do we say that the Nizik, who we're considering like a creditor according to Bishmal, could collect it from the Lekech, when we see clearly Rabbi says, even when you make it an apaytiki, you cannot collect from the Lekech regarding selling off a shur. So the Gemara says, no. Here it's different. Eved ma'itayma. What's the reason why by a slave that you could collect, although he's movable, from a lekeach? From the islay kala. Because the word is out on the street. Everyone knows that this man, he's a slave, and that he's meshubid. When you make him into a paitiki, people know that don't touch the slave, don't buy him because he's meshubid to that creditor. That's why if someone did buy it, then you're putting it, you did it to yourself, and now the creditor could collect from you. Says the Gemara, although usually a shur, no one knows this ox of all these hundreds of oxen that he has, that it's not paitiki, and therefore there's no liability of the consumer, and that's why he cannot collect from the consumer. But hainami, here it's different. Kivin the nagach, since this ox gored, as we know, that's what he's coming to collect from. Kala islay, the word is around. The turinag chanukarle, they call this ox. Oh, that's the goring ox. So you got to watch out. No one's going to buy. Everyone knows, oh, that's the dangerous one. So therefore, since it has a coil, it's the same thing like the halacha of a eved. And that's why, since we consider like an apaitiki, even though we consider like a bishmal, the nizik as a bachayv, as a creditor, and usually a creditor cannot collect from the kuches that purchased from the mishabadim even after the loan was done. Here it's different because it's not paitiki, and more of it's not paitiki that has a kol, just like the halacha of the eved, where then you could collect from the lekeach those shibudim. Now the Gemara continues with a discussion that will come in relevance of what we were just discussing. Tana Rav Tachlifa b'Amarava, that he was the person from the westerner, which means that he's from Eretz Yisrael, which is on the west of Bavel. He said the following b'raisa kamed rabavo. The b'raisa says, machrei ein macher. If he sells it, it's not sold, which the assumption of the Gemara is that even if it's laradia, meaning even if it was for plowing, I mean not just that it's not sold for keeps, that the nizik could go ahead and collect the shara mazik from wherever it's sold for, but it's not even sold for plowing. Even for the plowing, it's not. You would have to pay that to the nizik if you had plowed in the interim. And hekdesh muktish, but if he sanctified it, if he made it into hekdesh, then it is hekdesh. So the Gemara is Machri Man. Who are we talking about? Who sold the Shar HaMazik? Elam HaMazik, if you would entertain to say that it's the owner of the Mazik, the owner of that Shar, the damage, he sold it off. So Machri Ein Machri Mani. So then who would it be going like this, Bryce, that would be saying, oh, if he sold it, it's not sold? That would be Rabbi Kiva here. We'd be going like Rabbi Kiva, Dama Hochlar Shar, that says that it was already automatically transitioned to the Nizik, that he has rights in it. You can't sell it. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, we said that he could sell it, at least according to what the Havmin of the Gemara is, that at least you could sell it for Ridya, at least for that short amount of time, like we quoted from a Braisa before, that it's sold at least for the plowing, that he wouldn't have to pay back the Nizik, because ultimately the Mazik does own it, and the Nizik doesn't own it, so if he sells it, it's a sale. So that sounds like, if he's saying that he can't sell it at all, sounds like Rabbi Kiva. Now, however, the next words of the Braisa are, Vehekdesh Muktish. If he's Makdish it to Hashem, then it's Hekdesh. That sounds like Rabbi Shmuel. The Amma Yushamar Shreb Bezen that said that, yeah, the Mazik, he still owns it. It's not the Nizik's. It has to be evaluated in the courts. So similarly, this statement in this Brisa is self-contradictory. First statement sounds like Rabbi Kiva. The second statement sounds like Rabbi Shmuel. Because according to Rabbi Kiva, that he can't be Makdash either, because the Nizik has rights in it, and therefore he can't be Makdash either. So Ella says the Gemara, Nizik, what would you say? That it's actually talking about the Nizik that's doing the selling and the Hekdesh. But then the question is, Machre ena Machre Mani. So who would it be going like when it says that if the Nizik sold it, it's not sold? That would be going like Rabbi Shmuel. Being like Rabbi Shmuel that he says that it's in the Rishus of the Mazik. The Nizik never had any rights to it. So therefore, if the Nizik selling it, it's not a sale. Now, the problem is, Hekdesh and Mukdesh are selling Rabbi Kiva. But then if you're saying that if the Nizik is Makdesh, it is Mukdesh, that would be going like Rabbi Kiva, who says that the Nizik does have rights in it. So again, either way, if you say it's the Mazik or the Nizik, it would be difficult. So the Gemara concludes and says, La'olam Mazik. Truthfully, the one that we're talking about over here, that's selling it or trying to be Makdesh, is the Mazik. And the Divya Kol, it's actually going like both opinions, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. How so? As follows. Machre ena Machre, when it says that if he sells it, it's not sold. So we thought that sounded like Rabbi Kiva. And that the Gemara says, Afil Rabbi Shmuel, they could even be going like Rabbi Shmuel. No, it's going like Rabbi Shmuel. Why? The Mazik owns it. It's because the Meshabdilei LeNizik, as we said before, even though the Nizik doesn't have any shears in the actual animal, but ultimately, it is Meshubit to the Nizik. So therefore, as Rashi qualifies, what the Gemara is saying over here is, when this price is saying, Umachra in a Machra, that it's not sold, was talking about for the body of the animal. What does that mean? Of course, it is like we said before in the Gemara that Leridia, it was sold. It just means to say, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the guy could go ahead to the consumer and take it back from him anyway. So it's regarding that that we qualify and we say that it's not sold. Yeah, according to Rabbi Kiva, it's totally not sold. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, it's also not sold on some level, and therefore it could be going even like Rabbi Shmuel, because it is Meshubah, and he'll be able to go ahead and collect from him after the plowing that he had done. Now, then the next statement that said, Hekdesh Muktish, that if the Mazik is Makdish it, then it's going to be Kaidish, which we thought that's going like Rabbi Shmuel, not like Rabbi Kiva. So that the Gemara says, Afil Rabbi Kiva. Even according to Rabbi Kiva, who really says it's in the Rishus of the Nizik, so it's in the Rishus of the Nizik, how is the Mazik being Makdish it? Is Mishum Rabbi Vo. It's because of the Halach of Rabbi Vo. In other words, what the Gemara is going to qualify, that when it's saying that if he's Makdish it, it's Hekdish, doesn't literally mean to say that it becomes hektish. Of course it's not hektish. The Nizik owns it, not the Mazik. He can't be Makdashid. It means to say that it's as if he was Makdashid, meaning that if the Nizik would want to go ahead and take it now, he would have to redeem it with a small amount of money to make it like as if he was redeeming it. So it's in that sense, in that regard, as if the Mazik was Makdashid, that it's like, that it's Kaddish. The Amr Bavo, like Rabbi Bavo explains, and this is based on the Halacha Masechtas Erech and Daf Gimel Mabez, which talks about somebody that was Makdish his Nechasim. He says his whole estate is Kaidish, it's holy to Hashem. Now, however, he owed his wife a ksuba, and he had creditors. So the Gemara there brings that he has to give the creditor, what he could do is, since the guy owes him all the money, he gives to Hekdish a small amount, a token amount of money, and then the creditor could collect what is owed to him from the estate. Now, Ravo explains over there that this, that the creditor has to give to Hekdesh a small amount of money, what's the reason? The reason being is because Gezeret, it's a decree, Shema Yoimru, because maybe people are going to say that Hekdesh Yetzi, that Hekdesh could go out to Chulin, Beloy Pidyon, without a redemption. In other words, this guy has no right. He owes the creditor. Really, the creditor should just be able to take it without paying any money. But he has to, because everyone knows he was Makdash in the Chasim, and yet someone here is taking without redeeming it. We know Hekdash needs redemption. Oh, maybe Hekdash doesn't need redemption. So to avoid that concern, we say, okay, give a token amount so people realize that Hekdash does need redemption. But it's not because he was allowed to be Makdash. It was already owed to the creditor. Same thing over here, where yes, according to Bekiva, of course the Mazik has no rights to be Makdash. It's owed by the Nizik. It's just calling it, even according to Bekiva, that Hekdash and Kaddish, in the sense of that the Nizik is going to have to give a token amount to redeem it, because it has the appearance, at least, because the Mazik owns it, it's seemingly his share of Mazik, that if it was Makdash, it would seem like Hekdash is Yetzel Chulan, Balei Pidyon. So again, we explained that these two statements could be going like either Rabbi Shmuel or like Rabbi Kiva. Now the Gemara continues with another Brisa related topic, where the Gemara is going to explain the whole Brisa as we go along. Tanya Rabbanan, learn the Brisa. Shur Tam Shehizik. A Shur Tam, its first few times that damaged. So the Brisa says as follows. Ad Shaloi Omed Bedin, until that they didn't bring this ox and its owner to court. So the following halachas apply. Machrei Macher, the owner of the Shur Hamazik of this Tam, sells it, it's sold. Hekdeshoi, Muktish, if he's Makdashit, it's Kaddish. Shachtai, if he slaughters it, Benasim Bematane, he gives it as a gift. Masha Asa Asi, what he has done, it's done. It's valid. Now, Misha Amad Bedin, but let's say they already went to court already. Now, so therefore, the body of the ox is already Meshubit to the Nizik. So, on some level, it's his. So therefore, the halacha starts to change once they already went to court. Machre, if the mazik sells it, ain't a machre. It's not sold. Even l'rigya. Although we said before, previously, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that it would be sold l'rigya, that's before Hamad Badim. Once you go to court, so it already owns the shibut of the body itself, and therefore it's not sold even for plowing purposes. If the consumer uses it for plowing, he's going to have to pay up to the nizik. Hekdeshai, let's say the mazik is makdashit, ain't a muktish. It's not sanctified, meaning even the guy, the Nizik, won't even have to give a token amount to Hekdesh because we already went to court. We know already you owe me from your Shur HaMazik to me, and therefore if the Mazik is Makdash, it's not Muktish at all. Let's say Shachter B'Nasim Mevatana. Let's say he slaughters it and he gives it as a gift. In this case, Lo Yasub L'Klum. It's already after Amad Abedin. It's already, you already owe me the body of this animal. You're selling it off, giving it as a gift. It's not going to work. Now, so continues the Brisa. Kadmu bali chavis vihigbihu. Let's say, before the Nizik gets a chance to collect from the Shur HaMazik, creditors come and they collect this Shur HaMazik for debts that are owed to them. So says the Brisa, bein chavach lehizik, whether the debts were owed to these creditors before the damage was done to the Nizik, or Bein Hizik Achalechav, or whether the damage is done to the Nizik were before the debts owed to these creditors, doesn't make a difference. They haven't done anything. In other words, we don't let them collect from the Shtar HaMazik. The reason being is Lafisha Ein Mishtalim El Magufay, because ultimately, we're talking about in this first, in this ratio of this Braisa, we're talking about a Shur Tam. The Nizik could only collect his damages from the body itself. Creditors could collect from other places. He could only collect from the guf of the animal, so therefore we don't care if his damages happened before or even after the debts owed to these people. They cannot collect from the body of the animal itself, and that's left for the nizik. And the Gemara later on is going to explain the halachas in detail. So that was regarding a tam that was mazik. Now the braisa moves on regarding a mu'ud shehizik. A sure mu'ud already did a few times. It pays nezik shalom. And moreover, it pays min aliyah, as we'll see. That's the fundamental difference. So if it damages, so now the Braisa explains the halacha changes. Bein she'amad bedin, bein she'loy amad bedin. Whether they took the animal and its owner to court, or whether they didn't take him to court yet. Machroy machar. If he sells his shor hamu'ud, it is a valid sale. Hikdei she'y muktesh, if he sanctifies it, it is kaddish. Shachtei v'nasim ematan, if he slaughters it and gives it as a gift. Masha asa asa, what is done is done. Moreover, kodme balechavis v'hibihu, let's say the creditors come and collect from that shor hamazik. Bein chav atchaloi hizik, bein hizik atchaloi chav, whether the debts were before the damage, whether the damage was before the debts. Masha asa asa, what was done is done. The ox is no more available for the nizik to collect from. And here the reason is because it's very different. Lafisha ein mishtalim, elam naliyah. Because who cares? The nizik doesn't care that it was sold off or given away as a gift or whatever, all these different situations. Even before it was hamad b'din. Because the nizik, when it's a shor hamazik, could collect min aliyah from the guy's bank account. He could go ahead and collect. And therefore, it doesn't make a difference. He doesn't have rights on this animal per se. He doesn't collect migufa like the shor tam. So the halacha changes. If he sells it, does whatever it is, it's sold. And he'll collect from the guy's bank account. Now the Gemara goes in greater detail to explain this price. Amamar, the time that the price is said regarding the shor tam before a court case. So then we said it, that if the mazik is macher, if he sells it, so then macher, then it's going to be sold. Now explains the Gemara, and this is like Rabbi Shmuel, is l'ridya, meaning for what is it sold? It's not sold totally, because it is meshubid to the nizik. It just means to say that for plowing purposes, so then we say it was sold, but not that the nizik can't go ahead and collect, which the shor tam he could only collect from the guf of the body itself. If he sells it off, of course he go ahead and collect from that guy. It just means it's sold in regards to the plowing that was done in the meantime, that he doesn't have to pay that up to the nizik, the consumer. Hikdeshe muktish, when we say that if he sanctified the shor tam before they went to court, it's kaidish, it means mishum derebavo. It means like because of the halacha of Rebbe Vo, which is that the Nizik has to give a token amount. In other words, because although that it is, there's obviously a shibudim for the Nizik on it, and really he has no rights to sell it. But it's regarding that we say that you have to give a token amount because ultimately it's owned by the Mazik, even though the rights are for the Nizik, so it looks like at least has the appearance that someone's going to be taking it from Hektish without a pidyon, so that's why you have to give a little amount. And then the Braisa said, Shachtoi v'nosti b'matana, Masha asa asa. If he slaughtered it or he gave it as a gift, what was done is done. So now the Gemara asks, Bish Lema, we could very well understand regarding if, let's say, Nasna b'matana. Let's say he gave the shor tam before the court case. He gave it away to someone as a gift. We understand what it means, Masha asa asa. What was done is done. What do you mean? Because it would mean l'ridya. It would mean for plowing, meaning if he gave it to his friend, here, take this ox. This guy, they're going to confiscate it any day. You might as well use it for plowing. That would make sense. Just like when we said, when you sell it to someone else. Because obviously, it can't mean totally, because we said that the Nizik ultimately could go ahead and collect from it. But what does it mean that what was done is done? It means for the plowing, for the few days before they come and confiscate it. El Shachter, but the Gemara asked regarding when we said that if he slaughters it, that we said, what Masha Asay, if he slaughtered before they took to court, what was done is done. What does that mean, what was done is done? Lacey Vilishtalim Ibibsare, what does he care? So good, you slaughtered, let him come and collect from the meat of the animal itself. What do you mean it's done? As if, oh, you chapped around, you got it before they took you to court. What's the difference? So you slaughtered? He'll collect from the meat itself. To turn, like, learn the braisa. The pasuk in Shemai says, and this is in Perichaval, pasuk Lamehe, that says, that if the ox of a man will gore the ox of his friend, the mace, and then the ox will die, and then they sell the ox that is chai, which is living. So, That's what it says. Then Mechatzu is Kaspin, and it says, so then they split that amount. That's the halacha of Chatzin Nezik Be'eshter Tam. So the Braisa says, Ein li elachai. I would know the halacha applies only if the Shar HaMazik that's still around, that you're collecting Megufa, Chatzin Nezik, is only if it's still alive. Shchata Minayin, if you slaughtered, how do you know that you'll still collect the Chatzin Nezik from the guf of the animal? Tamalama teaches the Braisa, because words before it says the word chai, if it said chai first, it would mean always chai. But it first says, umachre es hashar, you sell the animal. It doesn't say, umachre es hachai hashar. It says, hashar hachai, which tells you, makomakom. Whatever the status of the animal, usually it's alive. But even if it's a slaughtered animal, the shar hamazik, he'll be able to collect from that. So how do we understand the halacha of the Braisa saying, oh, he slaughtered, what's done is done. What's done? Who cares? So he slaughtered, fine, I'll collect from the meat itself, as you see from the Braisa. So that thing more explains, Amar of Shizvi, he says, you're right. Of course he's going to collect from the meat itself. But Le Nitzcha was only necessary to say that what was done, is El Lefcha Shchita, is regarding the diminishment, the loss of the slaughtering itself. In other words, obviously, a dead animal, even if it's slaughtered and it's kosher, is not worth as much as a live animal. So it's regarding that we say, okay, let's say the Chatzin Nezik was worth 100 and the Shar Mazik is only worth 100. Now it's only worth 75. He says, hey, you got to pay me up to 25. He says, no. That's the halacha that we're teaching the rest. Masha asa asa. He did it before the court case happened and he slaughtered. Now you only be able to collect what's left from the animal meat, and the mazik doesn't have to pay that diminishment of the collection because he had slaughtered it. Now, Amar Avin Beri Devishua, so he says, based on this, Zayis Emeris, this tells us, based on this halacha, the Braisa, how we just defined it, HaMazik Shibudi Shel Chaveroi, that if someone ruins, let's say he owes someone money, and he had a certain land that was Meshubit indebted, that there was a lien on for his friend to collect from. So if the guy goes now and he damages it, the halacha, obviously, you see, there's Potter. But the reason for that is, as the Mefarshim explained, because ultimately it's only a grama, it's causation, meaning, of course, I own the land. I understand. If you, when you come collect, I'm going to give you this animal, this land, this Meshubit to you. But if I go ahead now and I ruin it before you get a chance to collect from it, I'm going to be Potter. Because it's only Shibud Shechaveri. And that you see from this halacha, which it tells us the same concept where if the guy slaughtered it, although it was Meshubit to the Nizik, but it's not yours yet, it's like Rabbi Shmuel, but still, he's going to be Potter because it's just a grama. So Gemara says, Pshita. Yeah, it's pretty obvious that you would understand it from this price. So without Rav Hunit telling us this halacha, of course you could infer that. What's he actually teaching us? So the Gemara says, no. Ma'adutema, we would have thought to say, Hasam huda amalei loicha sartech v'lei midi. We would have thought to say that, no, you can't learn that mazik shibud shachaveri yipata. Maybe you're chayiv. If you, this guy is supposed to collect from this land. You go and you ruin the land, you butcher it, you destroy it. Well, of course you're going to be chayiv because it's indebted to that guy. And I would say that regarding the halacha of this braisa, you know why he's going to be exempt when they slaughter it? Because you could say, I didn't make you lose anything. Why? Da'amalei, because he could tell to the nizik, zika ba'amahu d'shaka minach, I just took away some ear, some wind from you. I mean, when you slaughter an animal, the animal's still there. All he did was suck out the wind, suck out the life force of the animal. Aval ba'amalechaya, but generally when you really actively ruin parts of a field, then you would be chayef for being mazik shabud shachaveroi. Kamash Mulan, that's Rav Hun Beri Devishua is teaching that no, that you could infer that from that halacha in general, that mazik shabud shachaveroi is going to be potter. Now the Gemara, however, asks, Bahanami Rabba Amr. But Rabba already said this. Now, as Rashi explains, although Rabba is Namaira, generally we ask questions from a Mishnah or a Braisa, but someone as Chashav, as Rabba, or like Rav, you could ask a question like that too, which is, it's very famous from the Gadol Hadar. Everyone knows what he said. So what are you saying? Rabba already said this. Because the Amar Rabba said, Asayiv shtarayis of shachaveir potter. If someone burns someone else's documents, he's exempt. Why? Because the documents are just a grama garmi. There's nothing really that's worth of the, it's just the shibud. It's where he could, it's what he collect, it's his collecting power that he could. So you see that you're exempt. So obviously we already know this about mazik shibud shachaveir is going to be potter. So what is Rav Hun Beri Devishua teaching us? So the Gemara says, no, ma'adit tema, I would have thought to say that by the case of Rabba, hasam hu da'amalei, the reason why the guy who burns it will be exempt, because da'amalei could tell him, nir ba'amak kolay menach, exactly what do I owe you money? I burnt a piece of paper of yours? I didn't ruin anything of yours. Aval hecha d'chava ba'bari sheikha d'ma'aris l'chaya, but if a guy literally takes a field that's indebted to this other guy, and he digs pits and caves and all these types of cavities, that he's actually physically ruining something that's creating damage, that he should be chayiv. Kamash Mulan, that's what Rebun Rebbe Tru is teaching us, the Hahacha, because in the case of the Shar HaMazik, which he slaughters, it's like he's digging literal pits on the guy's land. Because when you slaughter, you're doing a recognizable damage to the Shibud of Chaveroi, in contrast to a Shtar, which is just something that's a proof for something, but it's not the actual damage itself. And Amar Masha Asa Asa, and still the Mishnah says what's done is done. So therefore, that's what Rebbe Yehuda is teaching, that the same thing applies by a real legitimate field that's a Shibud Shechaveh. You dig holes, doesn't make a difference. You're going to be putter. It's just a grama. You didn't actually do a hezek for someone else's thing. Just now what was Meshubatim was ruined. You're putter on that, as we see by the Shechita that was done before Hamad Bedin on the Shar Mazik. Now the Brisa continued and said, Kadmu Bali Chavis Vihigbihu. If the creditors come and collect before the Nizik gets a chance to collect from the goof of the Shar HaMazik for the damages that were done to him. So the Braisa says, Bein Chav Atchele Hizik, whether the debts were owed before the damage was done, or Bein Hizik Atchele Chav, or whether the borrower didn't have the debts until the damage was done first. Either way, says the Braisa, Lo Asav Lo Klum, the creditors who collected from the Shar HaMazik have not done anything. And the reason being is Lafisha in Mishalam El Magufay, because ultimately the Nizik could only collect from the Guf. Creditors, you could collect from all over. Therefore, we say we don't care whose debts were first. He cannot collect, the creditors cannot collect from the Shar HaMazik. We leave that for the Nizik. I think Gemara wonders, but Bishlam Hizik Achleichab, we understand very well if the damage of the Nizik was done before the loans were owed to these creditors. Nizak and Kadmu, we understand that the damage happened first. So of course, he's the first in line to collect. That's why we say they can't take away his only source of collection. But the question is, Avalchav actually hizik. But if the debts, if the loan was done before the damage was done, Balchayv Kadim. So the creditors are first. So why do you say that if the debts are owed to them first, why can't they collect from, I know you could only collect from this, but I'm first. So I'm going to collect from the Shar. Why did the Braisa say in either situation they can't collect from the Shar HaMazik? So that thing more continues on the top of Lamed Aleph Aleph. Vafila Hizik Achleichav. The question is actually more than that. Is that actually even if the damage was before the debts, even so, Balchayv Kadim. Still, ultimately, the creditor came first in grabbing, in what's called the halacha of tfisa, of grabbing what was owed to him. Now, the question is, if the creditors, we said, if they grabbed it before the nizig got a chance to take it, even if the nizig was actually owed first, why do you take it away? Shema mina, asked the Gemara, do you want to infer, which what we're about to say is actually machlokes in the Masechta Ksubos of Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph, because there is an opinion that holds that even a later creditor, if he grabs from the debtor first, he could hold on to it. Are you coming to tell me that Balchayv Me'ucher Shekadem Agava, that regarding a later creditor that comes in and grabs away first, Mashagava Loigava, what he collected is not a collection? So it's a double question. First of all, how do we understand if the debts were first, why can't they collect from the Shar HaMazik? And moreover, even if the Nizakim were first, the Gemara says, similarly, then you should prove regarding what was a machlokes to the option that says that a later creditor that comes and collects, we don't let him hold on to it, that we actually take it away from him, give it to the first creditor. So the Gemara says, no. I could even tell you that not only that in the case of when the debts were first, even if the debts were second, if they come and they grab away, usually a later creditor could hold on to it, even though he grabbed before the first creditor who was waiting to collect. But the Shani Hasim there in the halacha that we're discussing is different because the Amale, because the Nizik could tell to the Balchayv, Ilu Gabach Hava, if this Shar HaMazik was by you, in other words, that you had already collected this Shar HaMazik before it damaged me, Lo Minach Hava Gavile, wouldn't I have collected from you? Because the high tour da askin, this Shar that damaged me, Mine Mishtalamna, that's where I collect from. So in other words, he's trying to tell him, this is owed to me. This caused damage to me. So even if you were first, to the contrary, the Nizik could tell them, if you had already collected it, and then it would have gored, how would anyways collect from you? Because I collect from the Shar HaMazik. Now, Tosfos wonders and says, what do you mean? Of course, if he had collected it, of course then he would collect from that creditor, because then it would have been his negligence, because he would have owned the Shar HaMazik at that point. So Tosfos explains it doesn't mean that. It just comes to say this concept that the guf hasher is meshubed to the nizik more than it's meshubed to the bal chayiv. And the reason being is this concept of because the only place the nizik collects from is from the body of the animal. So if we give a higher qualitative definition of collection, what it's owed to for the nizik than it is to the bal chayiv. So that's what the Gemara is answering to say that even if you'll say that, yeah, a later creditor could come and collect, he usually could keep it. And for sure, the difficulty we had was if the creditors were owed, the lenders were owed first before the nizik happened. So why are we saying that they can't collect from the shor hamazik? That's what the Gemara is answering, that because, yes, even though your debt is owed first, but he has a higher priority on the shor hamazik than anyone else does. Because since he's mishtal megufa, he collects from the body of the animal itself, although you have rights and liens on the guy's property before him, but not on this ox. And this ox, the one who takes precedence, is the nizik, and that's why in all situations, no matter whose debt came first, no matter who grabbed first, the one that gets the rights is going to be, in the case of Tom, which is Mishtalemes, only Megufai, is going to be the nizik.